WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. More school threats in our area reported late Thursday by schools in Broadway. And we survey the rash of threats that have hit schools this month. Early voting begins today in Virginia. And Jeff Shapiro talks about that and the week in Virginia politics. And the American Library Association says that nearly 400 book titles were targeted for bans in the Commonwealth last year, some of them in Rockingham County. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, September 20th. The Rockingham County Sheriff's Office says they are aware of a school threat circulating on social media targeting Broadway's middle school, Broadway High School, and Plains Elementary School. WHSV reports that this threat follows an investigation into another threat targeting Luray High School that was deemed non-credible. This is the 12th case of school violence threats reported since September 11th in our area. WMRA's Randy Behage has more on what's been happening.
At least five school districts in our area have dealt with threats of violence in recent weeks. Most of these have occurred since the deadly September 4th shooting in Georgia, and most of them have spread via social media. Several schools have closed at some point in the past 2 weeks while law enforcement investigated, and at least seven minors have been detained or charged with making threats. Education Week reports similar incidents are taking place across the country.
You know, in the days of social media, these things start trending, and whether it's the individual is troubled in some way or whether they're looking for attention or they're just, you know, think it's funny, it's certainly taken very seriously by law enforcement, and it can lead to very serious consequences.
Chris Monahan is the criminal investigations commander for the Harrisonburg Police Department. Harrisonburg and Rocktown High Schools were closed Monday after a social media threat was reported to the police Sunday evening.
An individual had threatened to, quote, shoot up Harrisonburg High School, and then they provided a detailed plan of how this act would be carried out.
While the initial report came from a phone call, Monahan said additional helpful information was provided via an anonymous online platform called Tip411 that the department launched earlier this year. On Monday evening, a 16-year-old Harrisonburg student was charged with making those threats and similar ones against Wilson High School in Augusta County.
It's unknown what the motive of the individual was.
Augusta County has had other scares, too. On August 30th, another student was charged with making threats over social media. On September 12th, an unrelated arrest of a man fleeing an apartment complex in Fishersville led to the temporary securing of nearby schools. Shenandoah County has seen even more threats. Sheriff Tim Carter told me on Monday they'd already dealt with 14 incidents of actual threats or rumors since the start of the school year. Then they had another on Tuesday. So far, four teenagers have been charged.
And it is time-consuming, and it does take some time to actually track down the origination. But that's basically what you have to do. You know, you have to actually do it old school and start going around going, okay, well, where did you get this from? Who sent it to you?
The cases of students charged with making threats will proceed in the Juvenile Domestic Relations Court, which is closed to the public. Whitney Mock, the school resource officer supervisor, said other scares have grown out of the rumor mill.
Or statements in reference to speaking about school violence, speaking about school shootings, and then a couple kids overhear that, and then it turns into so-and-so is talking about committing acts of school violence.
Nearby Page County has also reported middle and high school students issuing threats on social media, according to a letter from the district superintendent. Two coinciding incidents in Frederick County last week prompted school closures.
One event was a male juvenile who was last seen leaving his residence by his father in possession of a handgun. Now, this juvenile, as far as we know, never was on or threatened any school campus.
Warren Gosnell is the public information officer for the Sheriff's Department. He did not know why the juvenile had taken the gun. After nearby schools were notified of that ongoing search, Gosnell said a year-old social media post started circulating through Frederick County, Winchester, and Berkeley Springs, West Virginia.
A vague post about something about, I'll be aiming at buses tomorrow. Based on further investigation, it was found to be about a year old and wasn't from our immediate area.
However, between the two incidents, the school district closed for the day on September 11th. The minor with the handgun was apprehended in the early morning hours that day.
We'd much rather take the time to investigate something that turns out to be nothing than to say, well, we coulda, shoulda, woulda.
I had hoped to speak with a mental health care provider about the risk factors behind kids making these kinds of threats and the effects they have on fellow students, parents, and educators. Northwestern Community Services Board did not have anyone available on short notice. George Knipe, Director of Behavioral Health Services with the CSB in Harrisonburg, wrote in an email, quote, "The situation goes way beyond the impact of social media and into one of the more upsetting and frightening things so many communities are attempting to understand and cope with. As I'm sure you can imagine, this kind of thing also has a pretty significant impact on our staff, who work with our child and adolescent clients, many of whom are parents themselves." WMRA also reached out to the Virginia Department of Education and the Virginia Youth Violence Project, but did not hear back by the time the story aired. Lieutenant Monahan advises,
"If parents or family members know that their child are in a position where they may post these threats online, you know, kind of as a cry for attention or as a way to get revenge or exert control, make sure that you're talking to the children and giving them a proper outlet for their stress or their emotions. Make sure to explain to them the importance of responsible social media use and the consequences of posting these hoax threats."
All the authorities I spoke with wanted students to know, if you see something, say something. And say that something to a trusted adult, rather than propagating it on social media. For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
For links to more information, visit WMRA.org or the app. Early voting opens today in Virginia. Megan Moore with VPM News reports.
Voters can cast ballots at their general registrar offices or satellite polling stations. Hours vary by location and are available on the Virginia Department of Elections website. Voters must show valid identification, like a Virginia driver's license, military ID, Virginia tribal ID, or passport. No photo ID? You can provide a recent bill, pay stub, or government document that has your name and address. And people without IDs who wish to vote must sign a statement affirming their identity before casting a regular ballot. Early voting sites will accept ballots for November's general election through Saturday, November 2nd. Election day is Tuesday, November 5th.
Megan Moore reporting. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope and Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, discuss the kickoff of voting season and the week that was in state politics and government.
All right, a lot to get to this week, starting with early voting, which starts today all across Virginia. Jeff Shapiro, we are going to have 45 days of early voting. What can we expect?
You know, it's remarkable, 45 days of early voting in a state with a long, long, long tradition and history of restricting, limiting, impeding access to the polls. What this means is that the GOTV, the get out the vote effort of the presidential campaigns, the Senate campaigns, the congressional campaigns, is at full throttle from Friday forward for 45 days. It means that Virginians have a chance to vote by absentee, by mail, or in person at their registrar's office or specified polling place, or if they want to wait until Election Day itself, showing up on November 5th. All of this is intended to improve access to the ballot, expand participation, and typically in a presidential year, that's when turnout peaks.
And the nation's first Black governor was, of course, here in Virginia, Governor Doug Wilder. And Jeff Shapiro, I understand he has some thoughts on the candidacy of Kamala Harris.
Doug Wilder, the nation's first elective Black governor. He was in office from 1990 until 1994. Three decades ago, commenting on the call of history that Kamala Harris could become the first woman, the first woman of color to achieve the presidency. Wilder made it clear that while this is important, perhaps he suggests it's overestimated. As Wilder himself said of his own candidacy, he was not a Black politician, but a politician who happened to be Black. The point being that he had 16 years in the state Senate, 4 years as a lieutenant governor before he was elected governor. There was much to consider about his candidacy. The governor's point is that there's much to consider about the Kamala Harris candidacy, that she was a local prosecutor, she was a state attorney general, she was a United States senator, and of course, now a vice president.
All right, so we've got a lot of new polls that we're looking at now that we're in the swing of campaign season, one of which was from the Wasson Center at Christopher Newport University, which gave us a window into the second congressional district. This is a really swingy district currently held by Republican Jen Kiggins. She took the seat from Democrat Elaine Luria, who took the seat from Republican Scott Taylor. Jeff Shapiro, that's a lot of swinginess going on in the second congressional district. What does this poll tell us about 2024?
What it indicates is that Jen Kiggins has a slight advantage over her Democratic challenger, Missy Cotter-Smassel. However, what really makes this snapshot of the second down there on the seacoast so interesting is that it's a dead heat. It's a toss-up in the second between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. And I think a lot of politicos will tell you, Democrat and Republican, that if Harris can somehow tip the second district to the Democrats, as Joe Biden did 4 years ago, and remember 4 years before that, Donald Trump won it, that Kamala Harris could be looking at a pretty big win in Virginia. One of the things that I find most interesting about that corner of Virginia, that southeastern corner of Virginia, is that you're seeing fast moving change that in many respects recalls what you folks up in Northern Virginia have been seeing for years.
All right, that's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend.
The American Library Association says that nearly 400 book titles were targeted for bans in the Commonwealth last year. Some of those were banned by the Rockingham County School Board, and Michael has that story.
During a recent appearance at the Texas Tribune Festival, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin talked about the politics of school boards banning books like Toni Morrison's Beloved. Here's part of his interaction with Texas Tribune founder Evan Smith.
I mean, I remember reading Beloved in school in English class. Is that the kind of book that we want to pull off of a library shelf?
What grade did you read it in?
I mean, high school.
Is it appropriate for a first grader or a second grader?
I'm not sure that any school that I could imagine is teaching Beloved to a first grader.
No, I'm just asking, though.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
Just asking about schools teaching Toni Morrison in the first grade is a disingenuous argument, says author Kenneth C. Davis.
Well, of course, that's an absurdity. No one is suggesting that first graders read Beloved. On the other hand, we might suggest that a first grader read Heather Has Two Mommies or a book about the penguins in Central Park because they are age appropriate. So this is, to me, a very disingenuous argument.
Davis has a new book out next month called The World in Books, and he says many of the world's greatest books have been banned. Not just Toni Morrison, but also the Quran and the Bible. I'm Michael Pope.
Virginia Department of Health officials are noticing an uptick in cases of whooping cough. WTVR reports a large spike in cases this year, nearly 400 cases diagnosed in 2024 compared to 66 last year. Whooping cough has a distinct sound associated with it when someone coughs, and it can lead to a severe cough that lasts longer than a month. VDH officials say anybody can get whooping cough, but it's the most dangerous for babies younger than one. There are preventive vaccines available. Full disclosure, VDH underwrites programming on WMRA. An audit has found that Virginia's Office of Emergency Medical Services, or OEMS, has a deficit of $33 million and more than $4 million in fraudulent charges from a former director in the department. OEMS is currently part of the Virginia Department of Health and oversees funding and programming for Virginia's emergency medical services. That includes purchasing and maintaining equipment and ambulances, as well as training first responders. As a result of financial issues in recent years, some trauma centers have received state funding late. And finally today, Governor Glenn Youngkin has joined a group of nine other Republican governors who are advocating for what they call energy choice. The Virginia Mercury reports that clean energy advocates say the term is a euphemism for the continued use of natural gas that pollutes the planet and drives climate change. The coalition of governors wants to minimize regulatory barriers and roll back what they see as expensive energy mandates. Louisiana and New Hampshire's governors announced the Governor's Coalition for Energy Choice on Tuesday. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy your Friday.